who is Jesus to you and who is Jesus for you? And to illustrate how our world often kind of thinks the wrong picture about Jesus, I brought a present, actually three presents in one bag. I'm a man, I'm a little lazy when it comes to wrapping presents, so I'm putting three in one here. So the first thing we're going to look at here, and when we think about Jesus and how many people throughout our world, throughout our nation think about Jesus, is the first object for our lesson here is this cute, cuddly, squishy sock monkey, which I think might have been a Christmas present or a birthday present for Julia at one point, but lost into the confines of our basement. So people often think about Jesus as a teddy bear or as something cute and cuddly. I had a professor talk about in seminary about how a lot of people and their worship songs almost make Jesus out to be like a boyfriend or a girlfriend. The songs that they sing talk about love and love and love and how they love Jesus. And if you were to replace the name Jesus with the name of your boyfriend or girlfriend, it wouldn't sound out of place. We like to think of Jesus as something we can cuddle and hold tight and comfort us and be a friend and a buddy. And to be sure, that is a little bit about what Jesus is. The scripture does call Jesus our friend. We sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus." But oftentimes, when we think of Jesus in this way, there's no law that comes with it. We don't think of Jesus then as also being present there in the Old Testament, the Jesus and the God of the world that requires certain things of us. We don't think of Jesus as requiring us to change and mold our lives to Him. Because when you think of a boyfriend, or you think of a girlfriend, or you think of something cuddly, you want them to just accept you the way you are, to not require anything of you, to not ask you to change, to not do something differently. They're supposed to just accept you as you are, no matter what. So that's one way people often think about Jesus is, well, here you go, Julia, you can have that back. Another way we often think about Jesus is as a banner to rally to. And often we think of this as though in America especially, that Jesus is maybe the banner, the rallying point of conservatism or of what it truly means to be a patriot or American. But there's a problem with this Jesus too. And the problem with the Jesus, as we think of him as being a banner or as a rallying point, is that we tend to mold Jesus to ourselves instead of us molding ourselves to Jesus. A good example of this that I saw recently was a bumper sticker. And it was a bumper sticker that said, "If Jesus had a gun, he wouldn't have been crucified." As though if Jesus was a card-carrying member of the NRA and had his concealed carry permit and all that kind of stuff, he wouldn't have been crucified. Whereas in reality, when Jesus was being arrested and his disciples had swords and were ready to fight that Jesus wouldn't be arrested, he told them to lay down their swords. In fact, he said, "Couldn't I at this moment call down a legion, an army of angels to defend myself if I wanted to?" Jesus went to the cross for us. We are to be molded to him, not the other way around. Another way we often think about Jesus is as being a virtuous person. This is the Book of Virtues by William J. Bennett. I think Annie's parents got us this, or got me this, and I have not done a good job in reading it. The Book of Virtues. We often think of Jesus, and of many in the world, including people from the religions of Islam and Hinduism, will look to Jesus as being a very good teacher, someone to emulate. In fact, Gandhi is famous for saying, I like your Jesus, I just don't like your Christians. In fact, he liked what he heard about Jesus doing, and how he would feed the poor, how he would care for the sick, how he would break down social boundaries, how he would do all these good things. People like this Jesus. They want to emulate this Jesus. The problem is it again ignores the fact that we are sinners, that we are in need of a Jesus who also died for us. Because if all Jesus is a teacher or something to copy, to emulate, we're going to live our lives in shame because we'll never get to where he is. We need him to be what Jesus truly is. And for us, as Lutherans especially, how we think of Jesus, even on this Christmas morning especially, is actually the gift that's for us up on the altar, the bread and the wine. In this gospel passage we read, we hear the angels talking about to the shepherds that unto you, to you this day is born in the city of David a Savior. To you. And when we receive communion this morning, we'll hear those words, body of Christ, blood of Christ, given for you for the forgiveness of sins. As I said last night, as I said yesterday morning, we can't divorce Christ in the manger from Christ on the cross. It is always and forever the same Jesus. And this gift means nothing if we don't come to him in faith and receive what he has come for, namely to die for our sins, to give us forgiveness, to give us redemption, to heal us from these broken hearts, bind them up, and make us whole again. So again, I'm going to finish with those good old quotes by Martin Luther and his Christmas sermons, which are just beautiful sermons. And Luther says this, of what benefit would it be to me if Christ had been born 1,000 times? And it would be daily sung into my ears, even in the most lovely manner, if I was never to hear that he was born for me and was to be my very own. Therefore, this is the chief article which separates us from all the heathen, that you, O man, may not only learn that Christ, born of the Virgin, is the Lord and Savior, but also accept the fact that he is your Lord and Savior, that you may be able to boast, this child who is born of the Virgin is not only Mary's son, I have more than the mother's estate. He is more mine than he is Mary's. That's an amazing thing to think about. For he was born for me, as the angel said, to you is born a Savior. By this we ought to say, Amen. I thank thee, dear Lord. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom we celebrate his birth on this beautiful, brisk morning. We pray, O Lord, that by all the virtues and all the good things that Jesus did in his life, that we would never forget that he was primarily sent to die for us, for our sins. Let us not forget that we are, in fact, sinners, that we are in need. Let us come humbly before you, as Mary did, and as many throughout the history of this world have too, come humbly before you in faith, recognizing our one true need, which is the forgiveness of our sins through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died and was bled on the cross for us. We pray this in your name. Amen.